Father, we just thank you for Lau. We thank you for the fact that you've spoken your word into his heart and mind, and that he carries it. And so, Lord God, we pray that he would just be able to release to us now what it is that he is carrying, and bring life and breakthrough, hope, joy, all these amazing things. We're just looking for you, Lord God, to come and to minister through him. So we pray that you'd fill him now, just full of your Holy Spirit, and that as he speaks, he would just be able to offer what he has, knowing that as it comes from him and hits us, that the Holy Spirit translates it into living words, every single one of them. So we bless him now, and we thank you for him in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right, thank you very much. Let's get on with it. So we're going to carry on today. We're going to keep on looking at our series on Acts. Now, we're picking up, I know we did Acts chapter 2 last week, so we're going to pick up later on. We're going to pick up from where Shona was speaking a couple of weeks ago, when Paul and Silas and Timothy are on their missionary journey, traveling around the early church and teaching about Jesus and kind of establishing the church. So Shona left us off with Paul and Silas and Timothy being released out of prison after they were teaching in Macedonia. There's a little bit that happens between then and now. Essentially, Paul and Silas and Timothy start traveling. You don't need to know where they went. It's not that important for this. But they go to a place, they share the gospel, and then they get kicked out. And they do that once, and then they go to another place, and they share the gospel, and people get upset with them, and they get kicked out. And that kind of happens a couple of times. And the last time it happens, they get a bit split up. So when we pick this story up, we've got Paul on his own, having not been with his mates this time. He's kind of just kicking about on his own because they had to get him out of the city because people were trying to kill him. And that's where we pick up the story here. So in Acts chapter 18, verse 1, which we're going to start out with. I have it on my phone. I do have my Bible with me, but it's in a different translation and it's wonky. So Acts chapter 18, verses 1, we pick up the story of Paul as he carries on his missionary journey, sharing the gospel and establishing the early church. Yes, we have it up there. That's good. So Acts chapter 18, verse 1. After this, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. There he met a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had ordered all the Jews to leave Rome. Paul went to see them, and because he was a tent maker, as they were, he stayed and he worked with them. And every Sabbath, he reasoned in the synagogue, trying to persuade Jews and Greeks. So Paul leaves where he was, which was Athens, and he goes to Corinth. Corinth is a really cool city. It would have been it's a very big city by historical standards. Some people think it was the capital city of where they were at, but it was a big, bustling city full of loads of people coming from different places doing trade. It was a port city, so you'd have had people coming in and out on ships and kind of bringing goods and services to trade, coming from different places to kind of sell their wares and make money. So it's a really interesting city for Paul to go to speak the gospel. You know, it's a big city, it's a capital city. There'd been loads of people that hadn't heard who Jesus was, and loads of people who'd come from different religions and different cultures and different places who came to Corinth to kind of start to make money that Paul would have been able to share the gospel with. So Paul goes, and as luck would have it, he lands up meeting these other Jewish folk who've been kicked out of Italy. So essentially, they would have been like refugees. You know, they've landed, they've been told to leave their place where they came from because the Roman Empire said, we don't want you here anymore. They've been kicked out, and they've landed in Corinth. And Paul meets them and goes, right, I'm sorted. Let's get together and do some stuff. And so he decides he's going to set up shop with these Jewish folk that he's met. And because he's got the trade that's the same with them, he's able to sit down and work as a tent maker with these guys in Corinth, which is a really cool place for Paul to be. So we know from reading other parts of Acts and other parts of the Gospels, other parts of the New Testament, that Paul would share the gospel quite a lot while he worked. So when he's setting up shop as a tent maker in the center of the city, in amongst all these traders, he's actually in a really good place to tell people about Jesus. You know, he would have met lots of people who come from different places. He had met lots of people with different challenges and different issues who hadn't heard about Jesus. And he would have been able to share who Jesus was with them while he was making a living, building tents, making wee leather things and whatever else he was doing. And that's kind of where the story starts off. You know, Paul's landed in Corinth. He's settled down with this Jewish folk. He's building tents and sharing the gospel. And on the Sabbaths, he's also going to the synagogue to share the gospel with the Jews, which is the people he's come from, and try and convince them of who Jesus is. And that's how we start things off. But as we read the next few verses, things start to get a bit more interesting. Verse 5, So when Silas and Timothy came from Macedonia, Paul devoted himself exclusively to preaching, testifying to the Jews that Jesus was the Messiah. But when they opposed Paul and became abusive, he shook out his clothes in protest and said to them, "Your blood be on your own heads. I'm innocent of it. From now on, I'll go to the Gentiles." So Paul was in a really good place sharing the gospel, making tents, but Timothy and Silas show up, and for whatever reason, he stops doing that. Now, we don't really know why he stops doing that. There's a couple of theories that Timothy and Silas brought money, and so he didn't have to work anymore, so he was able to just go to the synagogue full time. But for me, I find this really confusing, because Paul was in a really good place to share the gospel in Corinth. Like, it's a trading town, and he was a trader, so he would have met loads of people and been able to share the gospel with them. And for whatever reason, when Timothy and Silas show up, he decides, right, I'm going to stop that now. And he goes to the synagogue, which was the place the Jewish kind of Jewish priests and people who, just Jewish folk, would come to worship and to learn about Jesus. And he spends all of his time in the synagogue trying to convince them of who Jesus is. So why does he make them move? Like, I mean, he's in a really good place sharing the gospel. He's meeting loads of people from different backgrounds and different areas, and all of a sudden he decides that because he's able to, he's going to go to the synagogue and start preaching the gospel full time. Just with these folks who are in the synagogue. Now, I think, and this is my theory, but I think the reason that Paul goes to the synagogue is that he really, really loves the Jewish people and he really wants them to know about Jesus. See, Paul came from a Jewish background, so he grew up being taught as a Jewish official. He met Jesus, but he was, you know, that's still his culture. That's the people he came from. And, you know, Paul's quite a solitary figure in Scripture. You know, we don't see him talking about extended family or brothers and sisters. He never gets married. He never has children. He's very much a lonely figure. He's got Timothy and Silas with him, but that's about it. And so we talk about Paul landing in Corinth, which was full of all these different people with different faiths and different religions. I think Paul was really excited to find that there were Jewish people in Corinth that he could teach, because these are the people who he loves, who are his family, you know, his community, the people that he came from. In Romans chapter 9, Paul writes about his desire to see the Jews come to know Jesus. And he says he has deep anguish and sorrow for them that they don't know who Jesus the Messiah is. And so Paul, the moment he gets the chance, the moment he's able to put everything else down, he devotes all of his time to going to the synagogue and teaching to the Jews, because he loves the Jews. You know, they're his people, and he really wants them to know Jesus. And so he goes and he teaches in the synagogue, and he has some arguments. He tries to convince them by looking at the prophets and the scriptures and the Old Testament that, you know, that Jesus is the Messiah they were waiting on. He's the hope that they're waiting on. And things get a little bit heated. They don't quite go the way I think he was hoping for them to go. You know, he goes into the synagogue. They get angry and abusive with him. They probably threatened him, because that's happened before as well. And Paul turns around and he says, right, fine, your blood be on your own heads. I'm going. I'm gone. I'm done. I'm not teaching to you anymore. I'm going to go and teach the Gentiles now. I want nothing more to do with you. And he storms out the synagogue. You know, I wonder what his mentor meeting would have looked like after that, if he'd had a mentor there to work with. I wonder what would happen if I was out there in Brikese with Alan doing mission and teaching people about Jesus, if I did that one Sunday and then had to talk to him afterwards and go, right, what do we do with this now? I wonder what he went home and wrote in his prayer journal, if Paul kept a prayer journal afterwards, and what he kind of had to deal with that. See, it's a really hard thing when the people we love don't want to know about Jesus. It's a really difficult thing, right? I mean, I can speak to this from personal experience. Some of you guys who know me will know my family comes from kind of all over the place. So my mum is here, like our family come from down in Yorkshire. So we've got kind of, she's got lots of brothers and sisters dotted about kind of south of England. My dad comes from North India. He moved to Hounslow with his family when he was like 5 or 6 years old. So we've got family in India, in London. Some of them have now moved out to the States, so we know them out there. We're a big family that are all spread about from all sorts of different places. But apart from me, my mum, and my dad, none of us on our side of the family know Jesus. And we've been Christians a long time. Like, we've known Jesus for about 20-odd years or so now. My mum and dad got to know Jesus just before I was born. So we've journeyed with these guys for 20 years. We've loved them. We've prayed with them. We've tried wherever we could to share the gospel with them. And aside from a couple of wee moments here and there, they've always turned around to us and said, nah, we don't want anything to do with that. We're quite happy. We don't really need any of that. And so when Paul walks at the synagogue, having tried to share the gospel with the Jewish people yet again and yet again have it hard rejected, I think he must have been really hurting. I mean, it doesn't say much about where he was at in the text, but I can't imagine he walked out of there feeling good or self-assured or happy. I think he must have been really hurt. And I actually wonder how much of this outburst, you know, your blood be on your own heads, is actually anger born out of worry and love for these people that he's trying to share Jesus with. Because it's a really hard thing when people reject the gospel. I mean, what do we do? What do you do when your family don't want to know about who Jesus is? What do you do when you're on mission and a door shuts in your face because people just don't want to know what you're doing? What do we do when we're here and there are people here who aren't here anymore, who used to be here, who aren't here? What do we do with all that disappointment? What does Paul do? Right, we'll read on and we'll find out. So, verse 7. So after this whole outburst, Paul leaves the synagogue. It says, Paul left the synagogue and went next door to the house of Titius Justus, a worshipper of God. Crispus, the synagogue leader, and his entire household believed in the Lord, and many of the Corinthians who heard Paul believed and were baptized. And then in verse 9, one night the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision, "Do not be afraid, keep on speaking, don't be silent, for I am with you, and no one is going to attack you and harm you, because I have many people in this city." So Paul stayed in Corinth for a year and a half, teaching them the word of God. So the first thing Paul does when he's disappointed and hurt and rejected and he's had these people just kind of slam the door in his face. The first thing he does is he doesn't give up. And I love this. He walks out the synagogue door and he walks into the house of Titius Justus, who's the guy next door. So he literally goes door to door. Like, he walks out the door of the synagogue, having raged and super, really angry with everyone. And in that place of disappointment and frustration, he goes, nope, I'm still here to share the gospel. I'm going to keep on sharing the gospel. I'm going to keep on going. And I've said I'm going to go to the Gentiles. And there's a Gentile guy I know who's a believer in Jesus, and he lives next door. So I'm going to go next door. So literally walks out of one door into the next. And then it doesn't actually tell us anything else about what he does. This is something that really frustrates me about this passage. When I was reading it, it really got under my skin. Because Paul walks through the house, the door of the house of Titius Justus, and the next thing we hear is that people start to come to know Jesus. It doesn't even tell us that he preached. I mean, like, in verse, it says, a little bit further on, it says that many of the Corinthians who heard Paul believed. So we know he said something, but we don't really hear about him preaching or teaching or doing anything. He walks through the door, and people get saved. See, Jesus is still on the move. I want to suggest to you that what we see here is actually nothing to do with Paul at all. You know, he's not a good preacher. Well, he may have been a good preacher, I don't actually know. But it doesn't bother to tell us what it is he said. It doesn't say that he argued or reasoned or tried to debate with anyone. He just walked through the door and said something that we don't know what. I mean, as a preacher, I'd love to know what it is that he said. I really would, because all of a sudden, everyone comes to know Jesus. So I'd really like some tips. But I think the point is that we're not meant to worry about what it was that he said. I want to suggest that actually these people getting saved have very little to do with Paul. And what we're seeing here is Jesus continuing to build his church. And so Paul walks out the door of the synagogue, all full of disappointment and frustration, having just told these Jewish people that he's never going to preach to them again, and he's only going to preach to the Gentiles. And he stumbles into this place where God is building his church. And not only that, but this guy Crispus, the guy, it says, literally, he walks through the door and Crispus gets saved. Crispus is the official of the synagogue. So that synagogue, Paul just stormed out of, going, I'm not going to preach to you anymore. I'm not going to teach to the Jews. I'm not going to do that. Literally, the next person that gets saved isn't just Jewish. He's the guy that runs the synagogue that Paul just stormed out of. In the midst of all that frustration, in the midst of all that discouragement, in the midst of not seeing any breakthrough whatsoever, Paul almost misses the fact that Jesus is working in that very place right under his nose. That Jesus has heard his prayers, he's heard his cries, and that actually he's at work with those people that Paul wants to reach. You know, I really want to have faith like Paul has, not to give up in that place of disappointment. I really, really want to have faith like that, to walk out of one door after everything goes wrong, walk into the next, and know that Jesus is going to be there. Know that Jesus is already moving. Know that this isn't actually about my ability to debate or to get the right facts right or to convince people that Jesus is right, because Jesus is already doing that. And I think today that's my challenge for me and for you, for us, is what are we doing with our disappointment? What are we willing to do in that place of hurt and frustration and disappointment? I mean, you know, some things here maybe aren't quite the way we want them to be, and we're having to look at how we get on with that. Where the people we love who are our family don't know Jesus and haven't heard that stuff. When we've been kicked out the door or stormed out the door or lost our temper or failed or given up, are we going to keep going and trust Jesus to break through? Trust that Jesus has already gone there and that he's already moving? You know, what have we put down in our place of disappointment that God's asking us to pick up again? What have I missed because in that place of disappointment we gave up rather than kept going? Yeah, that's my challenge. What's your disappointment? What's your frustration? What's your hurt? And are you willing to trust Jesus and keep going and trust him that he will bring breakthrough? That he does that. That has nothing to do with me, but that he does that. There. Yeah, that's us. that's it. That's the